Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand. If it has a score, we cover it more. From football to lacrosse, hockey to baseball, we've got what you want. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Good morning and welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Hour number one of this program, episode number 136, originating from the bunker out here in Western Canada for this Friday, December the 13th. Happy holidays, and settle in for Sports Talk here on your favorite Sports Talk program. I'm the host, Rod Peterson. He's the co-host, Darren DuPont. Can we get a shot of him? That's Dupes.
Good morning.
Hey, we're a team here. I'm the president. He's the vice president. You okay with that?
That was simple. Good. I like it.
And we have the secretary treasurer here on set as well in the bunker, John Frenzy. How are you, John?
I'm doing great, Rod.
John Tiberius Lynch with us today, the Hall of Fame Rough Riders broadcaster. We got a lot to get to today. It's what we'd like to call a football Friday. And man, do we have a huge lineup today. Coming up, BC Lions head coach Rick Campbell, our CFL NFL insider Tory Gurley, and BC Lions offensive lineman Justin Renfro. My phone went off yesterday from a friend who said, to quote Bob Cole, "Everything is happening." And it was yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, just boom. You know, it kind of started here with John Ryan coming on the air to drop the news that the Rough Riders have made it clear they want him back. He is sitting in L.A. and said he is going to... What did he say? He's working out.
He's working out, and
I'm going to think about it for a bit.
Yeah, about it. Make sure he's got the right
fit.
That
led a lot of people to think, well, wait, he doesn't sound like he's coming back. No, John's weighing his options. John's a pro, and John will do what's best for John as well as his family, which is the way it's supposed to go, believe it or not. So we'll talk about that more. Frenzy has thoughts on that. And then, of course, we leave, and word comes down that the Edmonton Eskimos have hired Scott Milanovich as their new head coach. And I saw some people, some Rudy Poos, saying that nobody saw that one coming, and how'd the media miss that? Justin Dunk had that like a week ago, didn't he?
Yeah, Dunk was all over that one. He knew. He was the candidate.
Now, I was surprised at the news out of Toronto, somewhat shocked. I think that was the biggest shocker of the day, that... Well, Corey Chandlin being fired was probably a 50-50 proposition as the head coach of the Argos, whether he was going to come back or not. But Ryan Dinwiddie literally came out of nowhere.
Should have stayed nowhere.
Well, Calgary's not nowhere, but that's where he was. A quarterback's coach with the Stampeders. He's now the head coach of the Toronto Argonauts at the ripe age of 39.
Yeah.
Never been a head coach before, fellas. No background. To go to Toronto?
Well, Lynch, when you became a father for the first time, you'd never been a father before.
I think so.
If you wait till you're ready.
I think so.
Yeah, you don't know that for sure. Wait, I should have asked the girls around Rollo. But if you wait till you're ready, you'll never be ready. Right?
Well,
so at some point, you got to get your first job. And for Ryan Dinwiddie, it's with the Toronto Argonauts. So we'll get to that. Did I upset you, John? Did I put you on the spot?
No, I think he's got Milanovich. I mean, that's ridiculous hiring him as the head coach. We all know.
Not Milanovich.
There's one person here would hire him.
Who?
Milanovich we'd hire, but I'm saying.
Milanovich is a good hire.
Dinwiddie we wouldn't hire for Toronto.
Yeah.
Wouldn't hire him for anything.
So we are right into the into the teeth of the discussion.
Let's go.
Well, there's a couple other things I wanted to mention here in the rollout for Flooring Superstores and our good friends over there, the Dickin family. Trent Dickin, I hope to see you tonight at the Pats game. The Kelowna Rockets are in town. And if I may, because I may forget to mention, yeah, it's a Pats game tonight. Rush game tomorrow against the New England Black Wolves. See you at 4 o'clock at Wendell Clark's, everybody. And then Sunday at 4, the Winnipeg Ice are here with Peyton Krebs. Right?
Yeah.
And the Winnipeg Ice.
Yeah.
The first 1,000 people through the doors at the BC, the Brand Center, will get a Regina Pats Christmas ornament. So you're darn tootin' I'm going to be in the first 1,000 people. Paul, if you beat me, can you save me one?
Absolutely.
And Paul's here on the sponsor's couch. He says he can't. I brought you Popeye's chicken. The least you can do is get me a Christmas ornament from the Pats.
How long does that one last? How long can you ride that one out?
The chicken.
The Popeye chicken?
Yeah. I'll be reminded.
Remember that?
When
I bought you chicken?
Time. Today is the potluck lunch here at the Rod Peterson Show and IKS Media. Right, Paul? What are you bringing? Popeye's chicken. I won't be here for it. Okay? I got to leave. I'm going to speak to the sales force of Direct West on managing change and motivation. Lynch, you should come to that. You might get a lot out of it.
I know all those guys.
Tyler, do you want to sit in there? You should come too. New sponsor. Yes. Oh, yeah. Direct West is the newest sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show, and part of that includes me going to speak to their sales force today. I can't wait. Down at Queensbury. Moving on, World Junior cuts. What'd they cut? 9
yeah.
last night, including Peyton Krebs of the Winnipeg Ice. So the Pats just can't catch a break. Peyton Krebs will be in the lineup for the Winnipeg Ice when they come here on Sunday, and what a season they're having. And the one thing that I read this morning in a story, it's my last hockey thing, football people, they're waiting for word on Kirby Dock. Hockey Canada is.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the deal?
Well,
if he's not there now, how's he going to be there?
Well, he had such a great start in Chicago, and he fits in so well, and he's transitioned to the NHL game really well, but the hot start that he had, he hasn't had a point in 10 games now. And so he's starting to, you know, hit that lull and stuff in the NHL. The hockey news is where I saw it. They suggested it, and others have picked it up, that maybe Chicago would be interested in him playing some top-end minutes with Team Canada for the World Juniors, reset, and then come back to the NHL. They could still loan him now, and he could join Team Canada, but I don't know if that'll happen at this stage.
Okay. Thank you for that. I don't see how it could, but I just see that Hockey Canada is still waiting on Kirby Dach, and I hope that they just move on. They've named their team last night. Go play. Go get ready to play. I guess they're going to Switzerland to play some preseason game. Or Vienna. Is it Vienna?
No, it's Austria, right? Then one more round of cuts.
Right.
Those will be the door knocks late at night that we'll see on TSN.
I'm going through my phone here because I'm getting to the poll. And thank you to Randy Nickel, who's watching from Alberta this morning, and he has reminded me that O'Shea and Walters signed long-term extensions this morning. I was alerted to that by the Twitter feed of PR man Darren Cameron of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, who I believe is still celebrating the Grey Cup championship, and should be. I don't think he's let that cup out of his sight, from what I can see.
Yeah.
Would you?
You're only supposed to get one day, I thought.
Well, just good for him. Mike O'Shea and Kyle Walters have signed long-term extensions with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. It kind of makes me wonder what took so long, but that's part of what we'll get into today over the course of the next 2 hours. And the daily poll question for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center, is this, and it's courtesy producer Clark. Who will be the most successful in their next stop? Rick Campbell in BC, Scott Milanovich in Edmonton, Ryan Dinwiddie in Toronto, or Paul LaPolice in Ottawa? I've only had it up for 23 minutes. There's been tons and tons and tons of votes on this. I don't know if you can see the Facebook vote because it's on the small screen. On Twitter, who do you think's leading?
It'll be pretty similar.
You can see it.
Yeah.
Paul LaPolice is first leading both Facebook and Twitter response.
Yeah, my first thought.
LaPolice for sure.
I disagree. I think our fans would pick LaPolice because I think he's earned it and he's had such great success. But it's got to be Rick Campbell and maybe Scott Milanovich for me. They're just inheriting the best rosters, period. They got the best opportunity to win now. And for Rick Campbell, he's the one who's coming off the most recent success as a head coach, and that's why I pick him. He's done the job. He's won at the job. And now he comes in and gets to take the best quarterback in the CFL or one of the top two quarterbacks in the CFL and Mike Riley with him. He's got the number one receiver in the CFL. He's got the tools.
There's a lot of ways to examine that question and the way the vote has gone. Yeah. And I'm just going to go with the Twitter result because I got it in my hand. Paul LaPolice is leading the vote. Number two is Scott Milanovich with the Eskimos. Number three is Rick Campbell with BC. Because you said you'd have voted for Rick.
I'd vote for Rick.
And Ryan Dinwiddie is fourth with the Argos. He's taking over a shipwreck and doesn't have a quarterback. And it's his first head coaching job. I could see why he would be fourth in the poll.
Yeah.
But let's just remember something. It wasn't who's going to have the most success in year one. I think the question is who's going to be, when all said and done, the most successful out of all of those. So
that's got
to
be LaPolice.
I love that. Well, why does it have to be? He doesn't have a quarterback either. He doesn't have a quarterback either.
He'll have one in another month. It'll be Kolarus. He's going to have a quarterback, and it's him. He's a great guy, and over a period of time, over 3 years, he'll have more wins than anybody, I think.
John, what do great guys do?
Run the Kinsman Club.
What about Ryan Dinwiddie? And we're writing him off really quickly.
Yep.
I mean, he's coming into Toronto. There is some offensive weapons there in Toronto. They got to find a quarterback who can consistently deliver the football and get it to him. But I think Ryan Dinwiddie, as much as you know, he didn't turn into a star quarterback in this league or wasn't a starting caliber quarterback, he's been kind of handpicked as a bright offensive mind because right away went into Montreal as a quarterback's coach, and he's continued to have a real influence in offensive game planning and in building a playbook and in working with the offense, and now he's being touted as a head coach. That's been in the football circles for a while, that he's a bright, bright young football mind. So I'm excited to see how he does, but when you have to control all those personalities, that's a different story.
What about experience? A thing called experience. Yeah. Doesn't have the experience as a head man. Different job.
How do you get it?
Assistant.
How do you get it?
You go out and take the bullets.
And that's what he's doing.
But how long do you take bullets in Toronto?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't look very stable. You're right. You're absolutely right on that. But if you... There's a hell of a lot of noise out there right now, guys, in CFL circles. And the coaches and some personnel people think they've only signed Dinwiddie to get to the free agent quarterback, Scott Arbuckle, because apparently the two are very close. As a matter of fact, Derek Dennis, the bone crusher, who's probably watching right now, Calgary Stampeders left tackle, friend of the show, fan of the show, tweeted right after the Dinwiddie hire yesterday that, oh, done deal, Milanovic to the Argos. Now, maybe that's true. Maybe the Argos figured Arbuckle's the guy they want in free agency as a quarterback, so we'll hire Ryan Dinwiddie to be the coach. I don't know if that's true or it's not. But last year, at this time, Jason Moss's future was up in the air with the Eskimos. Do you remember? They missed the playoffs at 9-9 in a season that Edmonton was hosting the Grey Cup, but they kept him, and the notion was that he and Mike Riley are so tight. This is our best chance to keep Mike Riley in free agency is because he loves Jason Moss. And I think he did love Jason Moss. Didn't matter when free agency opened. Mike Riley chased the money to the BC Lions. You see what I'm getting at here?
Yep, I do.
So there's nothing saying that by hiring Ryan Diddy, maybe, are they hiring Ryan Diddy based on the fact he's the greatest option out there? He's been an offensive coordinator with Montreal. He's been a quarterback's coach with the most stable franchise in the CFL, the Calgary Stampeders. Maybe they just think he's ready. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Well, I guess they do think he's ready. I'm surprised that Pinball Clemons would take him. I mean, I really am. Let's all be honest. Can we do that once in a while?
It would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. The best choice for Toronto would have been the homegrown boy coming home, with the Grey Cup.
Zach.
Mike O'Shea signing a five-year contract as head coach, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a wonderful Christmas. It didn't happen.
I know.
Yeah. So Mike O'Shea
you're
signed.
You're going to CeCe. Compromise choice. Ooh. I call him a compromise choice.
A
you don't like that, okay. Huh?
I don't mind it. It's not one of your greatest.
Mark that one down, Clark.
Somebody quoted you yesterday, Lynch. It might have been Paul. GWH, great when healthy. Who are we talking about? Zach Caleros. Yeah, we were having. You were quoted yesterday,
well,
Lynch.
That's the truth.
A CC.
That's what the truth. A CC, yeah.
It's a compromised choice.
I thought it was concerned citizen.
Mark that one down. It's now compromised choice.
Why is it time for a commercial? We're having fun here. Listen, you just sit over there and watch, okay?
I'll do the talking.
Yeah, I'll do the talking. You do the watching. That's how it's going to work. Oh, I don't know why. Since we just went off the rails for a second, we got a special gift. I'm going to get it out here. This is a war helmet from the Canadian Armed Forces, and I know our listeners can't see it. We're going to put it right here. We were worried because this is camouflage, okay? This is a war helmet. It's seen active duty, guys. And the boys gave it to me yesterday at the armory. They said, put that on the set. And when I showed up with it, I said to Clark, is this thing going to show up? Because it's green, somewhat green. And Clark's just telling me in the ear, it looks pretty good. So what do you think? We're going to find a place for this thing.
I think it looks awesome. We do have to find a place for
it. I'd love to know why those colors are put in on that hat the way they are. There's got to be a long story there, eh?
Camouflage? Yeah.
So
have you never seen camouflage before?
But why? I mean, from who? And everything, all the details.
I know there is always a story behind Army stuff. You're right. But I think this is just
that's cool.
Pretty simple.
And it was used in combat.
As a matter of fact.
Did it take some bullets?
I said to my friend Brad, well, I don't think so. I said, what circa is this? He goes, it's not the new Kevlar model that you see that the soldiers are wearing now because they're very light.
And yep.
This sucker's heavy. And he said, this would have been worn in Korea. So it's got a story behind it.
Wow.
So I kind of like having those guys behind us. Okay. So thank you to the Canadian Armed Forces for the gift. And it's not leaving the desk.
No.
Trust me.
It reminded me, we got more gifts. So I got we got gifts for you.
Well, so how do you like that? We started
this,
something.
Open this up. Okay. I know your birthday's on Monday.
Oh, yeah, Lynch and I are going for lunch.
But you need a little something for the weekend.
It's a Lynch lunch.
You needed something for the weekend. So
he thought nobody would remember it. I know him.
But I know I was trying to sneak
the question
it.
Is, will Tom
Shepard?
Well, Tom
they came in.
Won.
So there you go.
Very beautiful. Yeah. This is a Rod Peterson Show bunny hug.
So take a look at that.
Put it in front of the microphone, Clark says. There you go.
Thank you.
Should I open the bag?
There's more.
There's more in here?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm...
The other ones are for you specifically.
The ship came in. Rod Peterson Show golf shirt. Are these available in stores?
Under Armour.
It's Under Armour, my favorite?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even notice.
That's a select order. That's
all
you.
I wear.
That's for you.
And, well, how do you like this? Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
And those will match your shorts.
Ho, ho, ho! You know I like to wear this stuff. This didn't really come out on the screen. That is bright banana yellow. If you saw it in person, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here it looks kind of orange. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
There you go.
So, can people buy this, or is this just for show hosts?
Yeah, some of it will be available for sale. We're going to get it into the store. I'm going to try and get it into the store over the weekend when I get back late Sunday night, so... So I'm hoping...
Oh, TG Marketing. I want to thank TG Marketing for coming through on that. They're probably all watching right now.
Oh, that's why it looks so good, right?
Yeah, they do great work.
They've done our coffee cups that we drink out of every day, too. And yeah, they're great.
I think I'm going to throw that hoodie on, that bunny hug, in the break.
Okay. I thought you'd want to wear it to the Rush game, too, but...
I'll do that. Well, I got my Ballers Rec Room bunny hug on right now. I wanted to do some sponsor love today. Rob Johnston watching this morning. He says, it's a hoodie. No, it's not. It's a Saskatchewan thing. We're originating from the 306. It's a bunny hug. Okay, so we got gifts out of the way. It's the holiday season. We're having a great show. When we come back, we'll get back into the CFL news because Todd in Winnipeg's watching today. He says, I'm totally confused how Toronto has approached their head coaching position, not to mention firing the coach the moment you introduce a new coach. Wow, Toronto doing Toronto things. Yep. And actually, we got to get into Montreal, too, because Kahari Jones was on here on Wednesday. And here's another guy, by the way. You wonder why players love him? Because he's honest. And he said, yeah, it looks kind of backwards how we're doing things in Montreal, but that's how we do things in Montreal. Right? It is backwards.
Yeah. You can't hide that.
No. And so we got a lot to get to today. And Clark is telling me that Justin Renfrow, the BC Lions, is getting into position via video chat from Vancouver to join us. So that's next, plus a sports update. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstore. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear out at Capital Ford Lincoln. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on brand new vehicles this holiday season. Get into a brand new 2019 4x4 F-150 for as low as $33,495 plus tax. And brand new 2019 Ford Escapes are starting at just $23,999 plus tax. It's the most wonderful time of the year at Saskatchewan's largest Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. In moments, Justin Renfrew joining us from Vancouver, BC Lions offensive tackle. But a Friday morning sports update. Canada's World Junior team cut 9 players and added one big piece on Thursday. The national program released forwards Dylan Holloway, Peyton Krebs, Alex Newhook, Cole Perfetti, and Connor Zeri, the Kamloops Blazers. Defenseman Peter DeLaborator, Thomas Harley, and Braden Schneider, and goalie Hunter Jones. That leaves Canada at 24 players, including Barrett Hayton, who gave the program a big boost earlier in the day when it was announced the Arizona Coyotes are making the 19-year-old center available for the tourney. The team will need to cut at least one more forward before the World Juniors opens December 26th in the Czech Republic. Elias Patterson scored 40 seconds into overtime to collect his 100th NHL point and give the Vancouver Canucks a 1-0 win over Carolina Thursday night. Johnny Gaudreau had his first 2-goal game of the season as the Flames scored 3 goals in the first 3 minutes of the third period to secure a 4-2 comeback victory over the Maple Leafs. How about those Flames? 7-0 under Jeff Ward. The Oilers fell 6-5 to the Minnesota Wild despite rallying from a 2-goal deficit in the third. Connor McDavid and Oscar Klefbom each had a goal and a helper. And in Detroit, the Red Wings snapped their 12-game winless streak by defeating the Jets 5-2, handing Winnipeg just its fourth regulation loss in 19 games. And Lamar Jackson threw 5 touchdown passes, scurried into the NFL record book, and guided the Baltimore Ravens to their second straight AFC North title with a 42-21 win over the New York Jets on Thursday Night Football. Jackson ran for 86 yards to break Michael Vick's single-season rushing record for a quarterback. Jackson has amassed 1,108 yards rushing this season.
He's not fair.
Oh, is he good?
Did you see Tom Brady's tweet? He's like, well,
must have a race.
We'll race, but he's on natural grass. But he's got to wear rollerblades. Who would buy the pay-per-view?
And also, Lamar saying after the game that Michael Vick was his childhood hero. So to pass, break his record. That's unbelievable. Cool. That is your Friday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. Do we have Justin Renfrew ready, Clark? We do. Okay, so Justin Renfrew, for those, CFL fans will know his name, but he's originally from Philadelphia, spent a lot of time in the league, Arizona, Green Bay, Seattle, San Fran, Dallas Cowboys, Buffalo Bills, then in the CFL with Calgary, and then was dealt last year by the Stamps to the BC Lions and kind of helped that midseason turnaround, I thought, with the O-line, and Justin's a fan of this program. We finally get him on the air. Good morning, Justin. How are you?
Sir. Good morning. How are you?
Good, 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 good. I appreciate you getting up early, if this is early for you out there in Vancouver and the BC time changing. How's life with the BC Lions right now? It's quite a turbulent last 6 months for you guys.
Definitely getting here was definitely a big, quick change for me. Got here, played that first game versus Hamilton. I feel like we got on a little bit of a roll. Definitely made a push for the playoffs, and then now with a good friend of mine and a great coach, Clay Brooks, being let go, things became a little bit of turmoil here. I'm a free agent, so we'll see kind of where it shakes out, but I'm still here in Vancouver, still kind of doing the community stuff, seeing the people of BC, and just enjoying the off season while we let things settle.
Well, you know, we're obviously going to look ahead here, but just with that trade with you moving on from the Stampeders, anybody that comes into Calgary, you know, is going to be a quality player. So everybody knew that you were, but you know, there's a lot of numbers in Calgary, right? That trade for you to BC, the Stamps said, we just want to give Justin a chance to play. It worked out really well, didn't it?
Yeah, worked out well. Had a lot of fun. I mean, the day I got traded, Sook Chung hit me up, and he was pretty much like, let's go. We're going to let's go make some plays. And so it was a lot of fun for me. It just I've been working hard like every off season, training twice a day, because in the NFL, I got converted to an O-lineman. So I've only been doing this about 3 years or so. I was a D-lineman pretty much my whole life. So a lot of off seasons, training twice a day, kind of trying to just make my trying to get the chance to make my mark, and I feel like I showed the hard work definitely paying off. A lot of thanks to Jay at Footwork Lab for the off-season work getting my feet right.
John Lynch here, Justin. BC Lions have made a big change, of course, a new coach. How's that changed the atmosphere out in BC, or has it changed it at all?
I mean, I'm here, still going to the facility every day, lifting with Coach Boyko. I've met Rick Campbell a handful of times, and then right now, because we both stay in the same building, I see him in the lobby here and there. Great guy. I think people are eager to see who comes so we could all get to work and then basically see how the chips fall. So I think, you know, you got to wait. We only have a coach right now. We don't have an OC, no O-line coaches officially named. So you got to let those chips fall before you can really say there's a pulse or anything around the locker room.
Hey, Justin, I got to give a shout out to Coach Boyko, by the way, who's got to be a good associate of mine. Talked with Wally about Chris. He said, one of the best in the business. Definitely. Can you say hey to him for me this morning? And why is he so good? Yeah, as the Lions strength coach. What makes him so good?
I mean, for me personally, I think it's he attacks whatever guy needs. Like right now, I'm doing a lot of upper body work, kind of letting my lower body rest, and I'm still in there getting great work in the season, from lifting to the manual work to the stretching before games. I mean, when you start getting into those late games, you need that, and he's always right there. So for me, it was a big part of getting through the season was his recovery work and helping my body.
Now, I don't really know where to go with this question, so you lead me. When this coaching stuff was coming out, particularly in hockey, what I'm calling the Me Too movement with abusive coaches, you were very vocal with thoughts on that. So where do you want to go with that?
I mean, for me, it was – for me, I had heard about – I actually got invited to a Canucks game, and it was and we were in the suite, and I actually just saw – I saw like just the headlines about it, and I kind of just I did it more of a post because recently I've been out in the BC community, and a lot of people are just vocal about, well, why do you do so much? So that was more what it came about from. It just happened. This is also the time, like all this NHL stuff is kind of circulating as well. But yeah, that's how it came about.
Right, but this is he reached out to us 10 days ago, and I said, I'm going away. I'm not hosting these shows. Can you wait until I get back to come on? Because was there an incident in your past that you wanted to talk about? That was kind of the sense that I got from your post.
So in my redshirt junior year at Virginia, we had just come off beating Penn State, but you know, every game you can get better. And I remember, like, for me, a Pennsylvania kid, that had been a big game. That was kind of one of the few games while I was at Virginia that actually got a lot of playing time. And I simply asked to use hand ropes. And any D lineman knows the hand ropes keep your hands in so you strike the breastplate. Well, my coach decided his response to that was he only needed the hand ropes to hang me and the other black defensive lineman from the shed that was behind them. And so that kind of started the wind down of me leaving Virginia and then going to Miami. But it just, things circulated. I was trying to divide the team by just saying, he shouldn't be allowed to say this to us. I had at people who know about the University of Virginia, there's an honor council. When I was trying to transfer to Miami, I had a fake honor case brought up on me. Like, things just snowballed for me just being vocal on, hey, a coach just said he was going to hang me and you guys aren't doing anything about it. So that was kind of the post I said. And then also it was a big thing. Like, a big thing when I do go to the community is I talk to the kids and I tell them they can. Because a big thing during that period was every coach throughout the Virginia staff told me to give up football, told me not to play anymore. So just 2 years removed from all that, and that was the big part of the post. I was holding the NFC Championship trophy on the way to a Super Bowl with the Seahawks. So that was the nuts and bolts of the post. It tied into a lot of the NHL stuff that's going on right now. But that was the big gist of my post there.
Well, thank you for telling that. And that was the thing with Justin. He's like, hey, everybody's talking about this hockey. How about what went on with Virginia when I was there. Was your post? Can I just ask you how you persevered and you didn't quit? Because most would have, I would think.
I think a lot of it just, I don't know, that spring when they were like, we report the first day for my, it would have been my senior year of spring ball. And I show up and they say, I was told you're not still on the team. To then the next, this is all in 1 week. To then the next day, I talk to the head coach and basically I'm on a probationary period now on the team. To then by the third day, I'm in the strength coach's office and he's saying, why are you even here? You're not good enough to play. And from that, like, I'm not good enough to play. And I've known for, because that's the other thing. Like, my dad would come to practices and they had to go so far as to shut down practices so my dad couldn't come watch. I knew I could play. My dad's not one of those dads that will just tell you, oh, you can play, son. Like, he would tell me days I sucked. He would say, you ain't make no plays in that practice. You can't go nowhere playing like that. So I knew I could play. It was just a matter of I had to buckle down, take the 19 credits, leaving the transfer. We already knew that the teacher was lying and two Virginia staff people were lying. The honor council people told Miami, and then the Miami coaches had recruited me as a junior in high school. So they had the faith in me, and I knew it was Miami. So if I went and played, I'd have a shot. So
good people saved you and belief in yourself, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Coach Al Golden, my parents, and Coach D'Onofrio. I mean, I had known those guys. Coach Golden and D'Onofrio had reached out to me pretty much as a sophomore in high school, telling me to come play at Temple at the time. So I had a good rapport with them since the beginning. So it was an easy choice.
Have you told this story to anybody since, or is this the first?
This is probably the first time. I mean, other than when I first transferred to Miami, I'm sitting in Coach Golden's office, and he said to me, he's like, because you have to get a final. Once I'm there, all the papers go through, you got to get a final sign off from your old head coach. And it's the day, it's like 2 days in the training camp. Coach London hasn't signed off. And so I told Coach Golden the whole story. And I think that's pretty much the last time I told this story. I told Coach Golden the whole story in his office. And then within 30 minutes, he was like, okay. And then whatever he said to Coach London about him knowing everything that went on, within 30 minutes, that paper was signed and I was on the field practicing. So I think that's probably the last time since now I even told the story, because, you know, I still had to worry. I still had it in the back of my head the whole time. Like, I'm in the NFL, CFL, football world small, especially when you get to pro football. So, and you know, people talk. Because, like, for me, like, my first NFL sack as a D lineman came against Evan Marcus, the same coach who told me I wasn't even going to be there. He was the head strength coach of the Vikings. So, you know, those people still keep going in the world. And, like, you know, the world comes full circle. That's my first sack. He has to watch it. But still, he's in that world. And that voice is still a voice that somebody's going to listen to. So you got to watch.
How does it feel to get it off your chest today? And thanks for waiting, by the way, since you first reached out the week plus to get on here. How does it feel to get it off your chest?
I mean, it's not a big chest thing. I think it's more, I hope people understand, like, more people now start to understand, like, oh, that's why, Justin Renfro is out there all the time with different kids, no matter who the kid is, helping them. And I feel like a lot of people ask, so it's more just like, hey, that's the reason. And, you know, I don't need to always defend myself and things like that. I don't need the story. Like, I don't need the story to go out so that somebody gets fired or this or that. I want the story to go out so that kid on Facebook Live, whose coach is telling him right now to not even play football the next year, he still suits up next year. And so that's what I wanted to come on the show for, because I know I'm not the only one that's gone through something like that or is going through.
No, not at all. And by the way, a note from producer Clark for you. Stories like this will help others get through tough times. Thank you for sharing, Justin. And I really appreciate it, man. Yeah. Thanks. And by the way, you've been supporting this show since like day one. So I want to thank you for that.
Yeah.
And good luck in free agency. Fun. Yeah. Thanks for this and keep appreciate in touch.
All right. I will. Y'all have a good day. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Justin Renfro of the BC Lions joining us. And Tyler writes in on the Facebook, well, what an incredible story. This will not be the last time I watch this segment. Thank you, Justin.
Fantastic story.
I don't even know. I can't switch gears other to talk about the CFL coaching situation after that. So his position coach suggested he be hanged.
Well, not just
and it. How do you keep going?
Yeah.
You sure determined kid. You got to admire him.
The whole time, you know, I'm sitting there because it's such a big issue. And, I mean, there's one thing to be a jerk of a coach and to be a hard coach. And then there's a one, and then there's the line. And then there's being a bad human being. That's the difference. It's not about the old, and this isn't attack on the old school. I don't want this to be an attack on the old school way of doing things. I don't think that's what's happening here. And it's getting painted that way a little bit with coaches, that it's the old school tough guys that are going by the wayside. Yeah, that's kind of happening. But it's not because they were old school tough disciplinarian type guys. It's because they're bad human beings. And anybody who suggests that a rope is for hanging him and the other colored kids on the team is a bad human being.
Yeah, well, I don't think this is the last we've heard of Justin's story, and I'm glad that we have this venue for the players to talk, right? That's why they're lining up to come on and tell their stories, and they're more than welcome to do so. That's also why I have a problem with Daniel Carcillo, and my oldest brother and I, who's probably listening right now, are going back and forth on whether I should go after Carcillo, because I'm like, you're painting all of hockey with a bad brush of what you had to go through, and that's not right.
It's not.
Justin Renfro is not painting all of football as the problem, but there were some bad people in his past. And he wanted to mention for others going through the same thing to not quit.
And you presume, right? Presuming everybody's telling the truth, but I think in his case, he certainly is.
Yeah. Conrad writes in and he says, like Lynch says, fantastic story. So we'll break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what's been a wild 24 hours in the CFL. And on the way today, BC Lions head coach Rick Campbell and our NFL insider Tori Gurley. It's Football Friday on The Rod Peterson Show. Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter. Monster hit. Crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body.
Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Football Friday. John Frenzy here, Darren DuPont. We got a lot of things to get to today. I want to update the poll results in a moment. And the question today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center is, who do you expect will be most successful in their next stop? Scott Milanovich with the Edmonton Eskimos, Rick Campbell with the BC Lions, Paul LaPolice with the Ottawa Red Blacks, and Ryan Dinwiddie with the Toronto Argonauts. Ground-shaking 24 hours in the CFL. Just saw a quote on Twitter from the Argos news conference that Ryan Dinwiddie said, John Murphy got the ball rolling on this hire in Toronto with him. So we'll kick that all around as we welcome in our NFL insider, CFL insider, Tory Gurley, joining us today. I can only imagine that Tory is in Toronto today. You said we have Gurley. There he is. How you doing, Tory?
Hey, how you doing, Rod?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Hey, of all this stuff that's gone down in the last 24 hours, did you see any of it coming? And what are your thoughts?
Of course. I nailed it right on the head. I was on the phone with former teammate Kevin Elliott 2 days ago. And as I was watching the Jacksonville Jaguars just continue to get the wheels beat off them, and I saw that there were a lot of coaching vacancies coming up, I figured that Scott Milanovich would probably be next in line to be a head coach because they're about to do a clean sweep down there in Jacksonville. And yesterday it popped up and he called me. He was like, how did you know that? And I just told him, and I've been so far removed from being a player and understanding how the sport and the entertainment world works. I just saw how it was a fit for him, for Scott to come in and take over at Edmonton.
Well, I had a football guy from Alabama write me yesterday and he said, why would Scott go to the CFL? He was making $750,000 with the Jags. And maybe you can explain that. And also why it didn't work in Jacksonville, because when he showed up, Blake Bortles was there. They've gone through Nick Foles and Gardner Minshew. Tom Coughlin was there as the advisor. None of it's worked. Do you think Scott's as done with Jacksonville as maybe they are with him?
Exactly. They see the writing on the wall. And most coaches understand it whenever you have a down year, because 2 years ago, I think Jacksonville was in an AFC championship game. And you go from that to being a bottom feed team. It's part of the routine where you have to go out and clean house, and you're going to bring in new people and give guys opportunities to step up. And
Tom Coughlin still there? Tom Coughlin still there, Tory?
I believe so. But they're still, the way Jacksonville is working, there's talks of them even moving to London. You know, so it's one of those situations where, as a coach, you know, you want that stability, and Scott's bread is buttered in the CFL because he has come up here and he's won a Grey Cup, and he has a pretty good system that that really translates to the Canadian football game.
Sorry to interrupt because you were going great there, but thank you on the Coughlin thing. And you're right. He's a head coach, offensive coordinator. Overall, it's a great hire by the Edmonton Eskimos. Let's talk about that, because their fans were getting antsy. They saw Lapo going to Ottawa and Campbell going to BC, and they're like, where's our guy? Well, they got a pretty good guy.
Yeah, and it keeps it easy for Trevor Harris. Like, as a former player, when you have these different coaches, you have different personalities and different playbooks. And now Trevor, he had one of his top years. You know, when we were in Toronto, it was myself, Kevin Elliott, Bedell Hazleton. And it was the same offense. It was Scott Milanovich. He was the head coach and offensive coordinator. And that system is pretty fresh in Trevor's mind. So for all those guys that were playing in Toronto or Ottawa, it's the same system. So once he gets to Edmonton, those guys will be able to plug and play.
You're in Toronto. You're Argo alumni. And right now the Argos are introducing Ryan Dinwiddie as their head coach at a news conference. Your take on what seems like a real wacky situation there.
That's exactly how I look at it. It's one of those things, instead of me making a judgment on it, I'm going to sit back and watch. But as of now, I'm not impressed. I'm just hoping that they can get it together when it comes to scouting and just bringing in the right people. A lot of these players I've noticed when I were in Toronto, they were hanging out downtown instead of being in the playbook. And obviously that's how they look when they went out and played on game day. So hopefully they can have someone to come in and right the wrongs, because if not, they'll continue to look as bad as they've looked in the past few years.
How much have you heard about Ryan Dinwiddie? Because it didn't stick as a starting quarterback really in the CFL. He was a backup, but he was picked right away as an offensive guy for teams' coaching staffs. Right away, Montreal is a quarterback's coach, and he's moved around. Seems like in that circle, they think highly of him, but that's the only reason I can think of that he's been picked for this position. Does he have that reputation, or is that not really spread to your circles?
I don't think that reputation is spread to my circle, but when it comes to building a team, if you don't have the right people, the right people overseeing it, the easiest way to hire is to always think offensively. Like, you know what, let's go find an offensive-minded coach. And sometimes that might not be your fix, and it's not the sexiest thing to bring in as well. So bringing in a defensive guy. So with them bringing in Coach Dinwiddie with the offensive mind, they were like, hey, we can get the personnel to come in here and try to put points on the board. But if it was me, I will overhaul and go defense and figure out a way to get it done that way, because I don't think offensively has been a problem. I think it's the whole mentality on defense and how guys have gone out there and just given up a bunch of points over the past couple of years.
Torrey, to the National Football League, and John Lynch will have a lot of questions for you. Mine is just what happened. We'll start with on Thursday Night Football. Lamar Jackson, all day Lamar Jackson. I mean, he's the MVP, isn't he?
Yeah, hands down, easy MVP. The way he goes out and plays, it's contagious. Like, I've spoke to many of his teammates, including himself, and Lamar is just – he's down to earth, and everyone is bought in. And whenever you have it from the owner, Steve Bisciotti, to the head coach, John Harbaugh, all the way down to the equipment manager and players, when everyone is on the Lamar Jackson bandwagon, he's going out playing with that supreme confidence. And it's scary coming towards the end of the season, because you can tell these guys are really special.
Ryan Tannehill's got the Titans rolling, Torrey. 6-1 since he came in. They got Houston twice and New Orleans in the middle of two Houston games to end the season. Can the Titans, are they a playoff team as they try and win a division? Because we saw Houston, they did not look good against Denver. We were at the game with 30 of our viewers and listeners on the Rod Peterson Show VIP sports trip. What's going to happen? Do they have a shot at the division?
Oh, of course they have a shot. The AFC South is wide open. But Ryan Tannehill, he's in a contract year. You know, it's a situation where you see guys perform their best when their back is against the wall because they're trying to break the bank. And if he continues to play at the level he's at, he and Derrick Henry could get those big extensions and could be a pillar for the Tennessee Titans, having those guys, those cornerstones to be able to perform. But right now, I love Mike Vrabel. He's a great coach. He comes from New England. One of the few guys that was able to come from the New England system, but to also implement his own. You know, we've seen over the past where guys try to imitate Bill Belichick and it doesn't work as well as it works in New England, because there's only one Bill Belichick. So I like how Coach Vrabel has been able to put his own spin on it. And if you look at the Tennessee Titans, they are a scary, they're a tough out, because it's hard to beat them. They're not going to turn the ball over. They're going to run the football, and they're going to play good defense. And that will always give you a chance in the NFL.
How about the Dallas situation? How much longer is Jason Garrett going to survive there without Jimmy Jones going crazy? I mean, I don't know what the deal is there. I mean, he can't do it. He can't get over the hump. Isn't that obvious?
Yeah, it's tough. And I think one of the situations they have going on in Dallas, I went through their media guide, and I noticed almost every person on their staff is a former Cowboy. And if you only look at things from a Cowboy point of view, instead of grabbing some of the best talent from amongst the league when it comes to coaches, it's tough to really grow as a team. You know, they're still doing things the way they've tried to do back in the 90s when they had the triplets with Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, and Troy Aikman. And now they're trying to mimic that with Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and Amari Cooper. And it really isn't the same type of game. You know, we're in 2019, so I'm hoping that Jerry Jones would be able to just really put the right people in position and to separate himself from being owner, general manager, and coach. You know, he tries to do everything, and sometimes it's best for the owner just to stay out of the way and let the coaches do their jobs, because if not, it makes it extremely difficult to go out and win games when, you know, everyone is really paying attention to the owner.
You probably heard the rumor that Urban Meyer might be next up as coach of the Dallas Cowboys, but a lot of the insiders saying he wouldn't last a day with Jerry. He'd throw him off the top of AT&T Stadium. You know, so we'll see what happens. Torrey, what size do you wear?
I'm an XL.
Hey, perfect. We got some swag for you when you're in town.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got lots of stuff for you, Torrey, for all you do for us. So can't wait for you to get to town, man. Look us up.
Oh, yes. So we will be there on the 26th. I'm super excited.
That's great.
I can catch you there. But if not, I'm going to hold down the fort while you're on vacation.
Sounds good. Torrey, thanks so much. Safe travels and Merry Christmas. My best to Kim.
All right. See you guys soon.
All right, Torrey Gurley joining us from Toronto, and I'm just so tickled about this Rod Peterson Show swag.
Yeah.
And he just happens to be the same size as me. Perfect.
How convenient.
Yes.
Having him on the show next week will be great.
We're going to. It's a bit of an issue because we're going to Edmonton on a family trip on the 27th. We've been trying all week to get around the show. Is how can I get in here?
Can't leave at noon?
Well, don't tell anybody, but I might send my family in a car. And I'll fly.
Oh, my goodness.
Does that make me a horrible person?
That's a great idea.
A great idea. Sure is.
Because I got to be here when Tori's here.
I have to be here. I know we were talking about flowing around the idea of, yeah, well, like, the show is fine. Well, I'll host, whatever, you take the vacation. But that's a big deal.
It's a really big deal. I got to have Tori on. I got to be here when Tori's here. So hopefully my family understands. We're going to an Oilers-Flames game.
Ooh.
Yeah, on the Friday night. Then we're going to West Ed on the Saturday. Awesome. Family stuff. We're excited about it. But I'm Tori's family too.
Yeah.
So to the CFL news, he's kind of reading it the way we are. The Edmonton hire is a really good one for Scott Milanovich. Like, John, do you still talk to your Edmonton people, John?
Yep, sure do.
Yeah. So, like, I'm a fan of Brock Sunderland.
Yep.
Gotten to know him a little bit through CFL GM meetings and stuff and Grey Cups. I think the guy knows what he's doing.
I do too. A lot of pressure on him. They want a big name up there. Terry Jones put a lot of pressure on him. Terry Jones is happy with Scott Milanovich. 3 years with the Argos head coach, who was his defensive coordinator and defensive coach.
Chris Jones.
Chris Jones, who was his the head of his running his defensive backs.
Jason Shivers?
No, from Hamilton.
I don't know. Don't put me on the spot.
Orlando Steinauer.
Zach Steinauer. Jason Moss was his quarterback coach.
An all-star staff.
Yeah, and Steve McAdoo, Jason McAdoo, was a coach with the offensive line. 2 years into his contract, he brought on a special teams guy who was the best in the league and now the coach of the Bombers, Michael O'Shea. So this guy's a winner, has winners working with him. Top-notch coaches working with him. Look at that coaching staff from 5 years ago. I think he'll do a great job in Winnipeg in
Edmonton.
Edmonton. And they were really wanting a big one. They weren't satisfied with an ordinary Orville.
Mm. Well, what about this? I saw with Ottawa, the first thing I thought of when the Red Blacks hired Paul LaPolice was that they were getting a head coach and an offensive coordinator all in one.
Right.
I think that's the way that it's going now.
No doubt about
it. You almost have to be a coach and a coordinator. Yeah.
And it seems pretty elementary, but there's a lot of places where the head coach is not the coordinator, but it's going that way.
Does he have the time?
It saves you money. It saves you space on your 11-member staff. So Milanovich has got to be the offensive coordinator in Edmonton, does he not? I can't see them bringing Stephen McAdoo there.
He's the offensive line coach. I'm wrong.
McAdoo, he was the
offensive line coach with the Argonauts back in 2014.
So you could see McAdoo resurfacing at Edmonton with Milanovich.
Just the offensive line coach. But yes, it figures that he's going to be the offensive line coach, Milanovich. That's what the CFL is doing. Is it logical? Well, it depends what you got for people. If you got problems on the team, you got to be a lot of time with the whole team. You're not going to have a lot of time to take that one category and get it better. So I don't like it. But you had referred to it the other day as pretty well dictated to you by the new salary setup, eh?
Yep.
Which is really...
I called it the asinine penny pinching.
Yeah, you did. It's really, really dumb.
Coach's cap.
Just dumb, by the way.
A lot of things need to change this offseason in the Canadian Football League. By the way, I want to thank the BC Lions. You haven't seen this, I don't think, because you haven't had your phone open, but from the BC Lions on their Twitter feed, at BC Lions. Heads up, Lion fans, you can catch head coach Rick Campbell on the at Rod Peterson show at 9:30 a.m. That's from the BC Lions.
Wow.
So I want to thank you, BC Lions. And specifically, Matt, because I know you're behind this, the Twitter feed. Thank you for that. So we'll have a lot of BC Lions fans tuning in to hear from their new head coach coming up in hour two. That's at 11:30 Central, 9:30 Pacific time. Checking the poll results for the Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question. Who will be the most successful in their next stop? Rick Campbell, Scott Milanovich, Ryan Dinwiddie, or Paul Appelese? The leader is Paul Appelese on the Twitter vote. Can you make that bigger on the screen, guys, the Facebook voting? The leader is LaPolice on Facebook with 39%. It's the results are very similar on both. But Paul LaPolice is the runaway winner. And I think that's because people have so much faith in Paul.
Yeah, they do. You know,
more than anything.
Yeah.
And guys, let's be honest. Those four jobs there all are very difficult. They're big jobs.
Yeah.
This isn't somebody going to a sure thing. There's four guys going into very difficult situations.
Yeah.
As of what happened last year.
Yeah. No, really. There's a reason that there was vacancies.
I don't know. Call me crazy, but I think the Edmonton Eskimos with Scott Milanovich, it's almost turnkey. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Milanovich is walking into a really good situation in Edmonton, I feel. That's a very talented team.
Yep.
Dinwiddie is walking into
hell.
Thank you.
Does he know?
He's at the gates of hell. Ryan Dinwiddie.
Like he's...
Does he even know?
But he's going from Calgary.
The penthouse.
It's like being the trust fund kid, and now you're on your own working for minimum wage, and it's like, this is where I have to live?
All right, then. Wait.
What is that stuck in my couch?
Yeah.
You know?
Is he naive? Obviously.
He's supremely confident. If you know Ryan Dinwiddie, he's bursting with confidence, like most successful coaches and quarterbacks. By the way,
what day does the maid show up?
Wait. I have to clean myself.
No, you know what, Ryan Dinwiddie. I have faith in him. He's a young, really young, bright offensive mind, and he's a really young, bright football mind.
Is that the guy they really wanted? Is that... I like to make myself believe that's the guy they really wanted as a first choice, but he isn't. We know he's a second choice.
But that's okay.
It doesn't matter. Kahari Jones was like the third choice with the Alouettes, and look what's happened there.
That's okay that he's the second or third choice.
Right.
He's still a bright young football mind.
He certainly is.
And he has a good opportunity. Now, this is going to be interesting because unlike Devon Claybrooks, not that Devon didn't surround himself with good people, but he surrounded himself with other young people, and they were all trying to learn this together. Be interesting to see who's there with Ryan Dinwiddie when they get set early May to open up camp. What people are around him? What's his support system look like? Because it's going to be a big adjustment. We joke about it, but it's a big adjustment going from Calgary to what they have in Toronto.
By the way, we are out of time in hour one. Sean Lemon is watching. Good morning, Lemonator. He has written into the comment section the lion face emoji. Are we to take that he is re-signing with the BC Lions? Because it seems that way to me. My guess is he's voting for Rick Campbell as the coach that will have the most success in his next stop, and it sounds like Sean will be with the BC Lions. Ken Guido writes in, and I believe he's a viewer in Kingston, Ontario. He's liking the terminology today, the vernacular.
Yeah.
Trust fund kid. Hell. Epic. What? Hey, we're having fun here in a Football Friday. I hope you're enjoying the newest addition to the set. This from the Canadian Armed Forces and our friends in the Canadian military. War helmet, seen active duty. They thought the set was a little sparse.
Will they tell us the true story behind that?
Who will?
If we bring the man who wore that to this set, will he tell us a story behind that hat? some of the
The helmet?
The helmet. Some of the adventures he'd gone through. I'd love to hear them.
Sure. Hey, Brad, if you're watching, Lynch wants to know the stories behind the helmet. The Lemonator says, no, I just put a lion in for the emoji. So Sean's not letting thing out of the bag here with free agency. He says, no, he didn't re-sign. Hour two includes the head coach of the BC Lions, Rick Campbell. We'll be back in a moment. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear out at Capital GMC. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on pre-owned vehicles this holiday season. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Equinox. Get it under the tree for just $25,998 plus tax. And this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia is only $32,997 plus tax. Only at Canada's number one certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.